Since that interview, Curb viewers have seen Larry open in the producers and learned in the season finale twist ending that Mel Brooks and his wife Anne Bancroft had their own reasons for casting Larry in their hit Broadway musical.
Did you see the look on their faces when Larry David forgot every line he had? He went up in smoke.
God, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. Thank God that this damn play is going to be over. We're going to get our lives back.
He has freed us from the anchor, from the albatross of the producers, which has invaded our lives every single minute, every hour of every day.
Trapping us.
No more openings in Cleveland. No more sleeping in dirty beds in Pittsburgh. We're free. Free at last.
I know.
Isn't it wonderful?
How did you know that he could ruin the show? How?
The minute I laid eyes on him, I said, this guy's a disaster. He's a living disaster. He's a storm. He's like a storm that will destroy everything in its path. I mean, he's got this gift. Everything he touches, he dooms. He's a little cyclone, a little tornado destroying the St. James Theater.
I know.
Any minute now, the show will be dead. Here, a toast to the death of the producers. May it rest in peace.
As disasters go, Larry David is amazingly successful. On stage in that season finale, and in real life. It's an amazing success, in part, because of some of the things his character does on Curb. Last season, he plotted to commit adultery, insulted a Holocaust survivor, and stole cake from a blind man. Curb Your Enthusiasm takes to extremes a principle Larry David followed with Seinfeld, which he co-created. You can base a sitcom around self-absorbed and inconsiderate characters. Terry spoke with Larry David in 1992.
Now, you used to do stand-up.
Yes, that's true.
When did you start doing it, and what was your act like?
I started doing it in 1975, and it's hard to describe what my act was like, because very often I would leave in the middle of it. As soon as I saw somebody in the audience just make a face, or somebody talk to the person next to them, I would become infuriated and throw the microphone down and leave.
That was it? You just not
and
come
I would,
back?
I would get in fights with the audience if they weren't laughing. I was like the McEnroe of comedy. I couldn't stand adversity. Yeah, but that's pretty much what would happen. I would be in the middle of a show and I would just walk off.
So with a reputation like that, who would hire you?
Nobody. And see, no one. No one would hire me. But I did, I was able to perform at the showcase clubs. Because they liked me. They didn't care if I walked off.
They probably weren't paying you anyways, right?
That's exactly the point.
Right?
Yeah, they weren't.
Why would you walk off? Why were you so easily discouraged when somebody wouldn't laugh or would heckle?
Because I'm a baby. I'm a big baby, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand like losing. It was like winning and losing. And if I lost to the audience, I couldn't take it. I would throw the board over.
Well, did you ever kill on stage?
Oh yes, yeah, I did. Yeah, very very often, in fact.
And you'd complete those sets?
Those I would complete, yeah. And that was always an exhilarating feeling for me.
You were with Saturday Night Live for 84 to 85, is that right?
Yes, yes, one season.
What were some of the sketches you wrote?
They only did, they only put on the air one sketch of mine the entire season.
Which one?
No one in the world wouldn't know what it was, except maybe a few people in my family. The sketch was on, it was the last sketch of a show that Ed Begley Jr. was the host of. And the sketch was on at 5 to 1 in the morning. And Ed Begley Jr. played an architect, and Harry Shearer was the developer. And Harry Shearer was looking over the plans for the new building that Ed Begley had designed. And he saw, he said, he was looking over the blueprint, and he said to Ed Begley, what's this thing over here? And Ed Begley said, oh, that's the elevator. And then Harry Shearer said, no, but what's this? And he said, oh, that's a stool. for the elevator man to sit. And then Harry Shearer said that a stool, he didn't want his elevator men sitting on stools. And they just got in a fight, and that that was the sketch. It's pretty stupid.
I don't remember it.
No, I'm sure you don't.
Yeah. How is it that you worked there for a whole year and or a whole season and only got one sketch on?
Because Dick Ebersole didn't like my material. He was the executive producer. Dick and I didn't quite get along. Dick and I had a few problems.
Did you feel like, what's the point of staying if your material isn't going to get on?
Yes, yes. In fact, I actually quit the show, and there's a Seinfeld episode that's based on this. One day I walked into Ebersole's office. It was right before one of the shows was about to start. He had cut one of my sketches after dress rehearsal. And I walked up to him right before airtime, 10 minutes before airtime, and I walked up to myself, that's it, I'm finished, I quit, I've had it, I'm never coming back here again, it's over, done, I hate this place, I quit. So I left the building, and I started walking home, and I felt very good. I quit the show, I wasn't going to put up with that, and I got home, and I started thinking about my salary and how much money I was giving up. And I go, let's see, that's 3,000 there, that 15, 20, that's 40,000 dollars. What am I out of my mind? I'm going to give this guy $40,000. It's another couple of weeks. What am I, crazy? You know. So on Monday morning, I went back in and pretended that the whole thing never happened. And I went into the meeting. I said good morning to everybody. People gave me some strange looks, and Ebersole never said another word to me about it, so I just continued working there. But I wrote an episode for Seinfeld about it last year when George quit his job.
Larry David, thanks a lot for talking with us. And if I ever get the chance to see you perform live, I'll be sure to laugh.
Yeah, either that or bring your earplugs or a bulletproof vest or something. Well, thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Larry David, speaking with Terry Gross in 1992. The second season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is out now on DVD.